Weekend Huddle broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Good Saturday morning to you all, Nashville. I would say beautiful day, but like yesterday, it's a bit rainy, but it's all right. It's a good day of football.
Again, however you make the day is how good it'll be, all right? Today's a phenomenal day.
Every day is a phenomenal day if you make it a phenomenal day.
That's what I mean.
It's a big day in football. Vanderbilt got a big one. A trap game, if you will, contrary to popular belief.
I see you're wearing your trap game blue.
Well, yes, but I realized when I stepped out of the house today, I am somewhat wearing gold and black.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Call me a company guy, if you will.
I really don't know what you're doing right now because you're going against every bit of the rule book of the Newts rule book of fandom. Is that correct?
I don't support Vanderbilt.
I know, but I'm just saying you're crossing colors. You're crossing streams.
I match. This is cream. It's not gold. It's cream.
Mm.
Cream.
Cream streams. Same thing.
Cream. We're treading on some dangerous waters right now.
Well, right now, there's a lot of water falling from the sky.
At nine in the morning. Big show today. Today, I'll start with this, is a special day down at Bridgestone Arena. The Preds are in action, returning home after the Sweden trip. They're in action against the Colorado Avalanche. But it's also for a special cause. It is Hockey Fights Cancer Day. And we have a lot of connections here at the 102.5 community to those affected by cancer. Obviously, Willie's wife, Erin Donick, passed away a couple months ago.
Yep.
I unfortunately did not get to know her. Many here did. But in celebration of that, instead of the weekend poll today, I didn't run this by you, Frazier,
That's
but
fine.
I hope it's okay. I want to know, who are you fighting for? Who in your life or around you is affected by cancer? How can we help them today? How can we acknowledge them today and give them the strength to keep on? Because we're all in this together. Cancer, cancer-free, non-sick, sick. We're all people.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to celebrate those who are struggling. And I want to celebrate those and recognize those and tell their stories live on air. So we'll do that at 10 a.m. today.
Wonderful.
Start getting those in now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take calls and texts throughout the show. We want to hear your stories.
Just to add on to the Erin Donick conversation there, I was fortunate enough to meet her a handful of times while working here at 102.5 The Game continuously. Willie is one of the nicest people and just open arms person you could work with when it comes to radio, sports in general,
right,
asking about tips, whatever. And then you meet Erin and you just think, nobody can top Willie, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Erin was a ray of sunshine and brought so much life into a room. She walked in there and the first time I ever met her, she gave me a big old hug and I was like, I don't know who you are, but I feel at home. I felt welcomed. I felt like I was a part of the group in some aspects. And when I was the outcast, it never felt that way with Erin in the room. So,
right.
Always thinking about her and always thinking about Willie too. There was a video that came out recently on Twitter. I think, Chris Mason put it out.
It's beautiful.
Like, they gave Willie a giant belt, and it had the silhouette of Erin on the front of it. And Willie's words in that video, if you haven't watched it, go find it on Twitter, or I'll retweet it, something like that. But Willie said it perfectly. He doesn't know how he does it without those guys and girls. Willie is an absolute just workhorse.
And right.
The way he's carrying this along with his two kids as well, it carries it like a true pro.
He's a trooper.
Always thinking about him and praying for the rest of his family. And yeah,
of course,
Erin is wonderful.
I mean, I'll end it on this, and then we'll reopen the conversation at 10 a.m. I did not get to meet Erin Donick, but to know Willie is to know Erin. It seems like he was always talking about his wife and his family. And Willie has helped me a lot in my career in the early stages. I've gotten to work with him a lot, and D. Mace and Adam, but they are truly some of the kindest people I've ever met. And again, to know Willie is to know Erin, and to love Willie is to love Erin. So
yeah. She did a lot for Willie when it came to radio too, because when I was producing the midday show, when Caroline was here and D Mace and Willie and so forth, Erin would call in and would surprise Willie sometimes for his annual anniversary of being on radio. And I believe it's 30 plus now, but she would always call in and remind Willie, happy anniversary of your radio debut and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool as well.
So that's Willie's story. We want to hear your story. Who are you fighting for?
That's not Willie's story. I'm just saying what I know of from outside.
Oh, well. Yeah. I was talking to the people.
Oh,
I was breaking the fourth wall.
Gotcha.
615-737-1025. Who are you fighting for as we celebrate Hockey Fights Cancer today? All right, let's actually talk about sports. Big news came out last night in the coaching carousel. Lane Kiffin has reportedly received an offer from Louisiana State University upwards of $90 million. He is expected to make a decision after the Egg Bowl.
I'm just laughing because I predicted all this last Saturday.
You did?
I did. I mean, it's going to happen. Mississippi State's going to upset Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. And cowbells are going to be just everywhere, ringing in your ears for 5 weeks on time. They go to Mississippi State goes to Music City Bowl, just in case. Just putting that out there for people on the council. Would love that to happen.
The council.
Nashville Council, man. Got to work that in there. No, but this is just the stars are aligning for Lane Kiffin to leave. And the fact of the matter is the athletic director put out a tweet last night saying Lane Kiffin will have his decision after the Egg Bowl. And, again, that just tells you the writing's on the wall. He's out of there.
Yeah, and it came out later last night that all three, Florida, LSU, and Ole Miss, are set to offer Lane Kiffin in the $13 million per year range. So, what I anticipate happening, I have been on the train of Lane Kiffin's not leaving. Okay. It would be crazy for him to leave. Then that came out last night, and I saw that LSU is offering him $90 million to take the head coaching position over in Baton Rouge. And now I'm starting to think, I think it's becoming a bit more imminent that Lane Kiffin is calling Baton Rouge. It's going to happen. The only way I think that Lane Kiffin stays at Ole Miss now is if they somehow match that contract, and I'm not quite sure they have the money to do that.
The only way they match that contract is if Ole Miss, again, the writing's on the wall because it was in that tweet last night. If Ole Miss beats Mississippi State, they make the playoff, all that revenue money, some of it's going to go to the roster. The rest of that's going to Lane Kiffin so they can match that.
Yep.
And I'm sure a lot of the boosters along in Oxford, Mississippi are going to pay a little extra outside those walls. But that's kind of where your money's going to come from is all that playoff revenue. And if they don't go to the playoff, that's where you see Lane go.
He gone.
Yep.
I think that's kind of the answer there. And the only another factor that could completely play into it is if Lane Kiffin just loves Oxford enough to pass up on all that money. But knowing what we know about Lane Kiffin and his history with coaching changes and kind of how quick to turn he is, I think we know kind of where his head's at.
Yeah. I mean, he was in Baton Rouge, what, he was dancing on the stage, singing, wasn't that something?
I believe it was his nephew, maybe, or his son, that posted a video of him last, or a picture of him last night. He's playing in his high school football team, but he was wearing LSU headphones.
Yeah, but there was also a video of Lane Kiffin at some Baton Rouge bar with, I think, his daughter or something, and he was singing karaoke, I think, drunker than a skunk. I don't know. Maybe it was last night or maybe Monday. I don't know, but there was a video circulating last night about that.
Really?
Yeah.
That could have been what that was. I thought that was some old video from like an old wedding or something, but
yeah.
You could be complete. It would not surprise me in the least if that's what that was.
Maybe it is from an old wedding. I don't know, but wow.
Yeah. It's an unpredictable storyline at this point. Like, we think we know where it's going, and then we get a twist, and it's like a soap opera.
Yeah, like his whole tweeting, like, cycle of tweeting at Rhett Lashley and tweeting a picture of SMU's, like, sports facility. What's up with that? Like, I'm all confused.
Well, they waved at each other.
I know. Why?
It's like, hey, Matt Cardona, how you doing?
You're stirring the pot, Lane Kiffin. I know you love it, but my goodness.
Oh, he's stirring the pot. He wants to be unpredictable because it's a negotiating tactic.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you know he loves every second of this. He loves this.
He loves that we're talking about it right now. He probably doesn't know who us three are, but he loves that we're talking about him because that's attention for him. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts on that, we will continue the conversation coming up next. Plus, I want to take it a step further. If Lane is gone, what does that mean for Ole Miss? Who takes the Ole Miss job? And even further beyond that, that's Florida's top guy as well. Who takes the Florida job? We'll discuss that all next. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton with you on 102.5 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Sam Houston today at 2 p.m. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Bottom top 25 game today. Number 5 versus number 15, just in the opposite direction. So tune into that one. It'll be a fun one. MTSU versus Sam Houston State. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton with you. We're discussing the news that came out last night of Lane Kiffin. LSU is prepared to offer Lane Kiffin an offer northwards of $90 million. And I believe that is $25 million annually, they said.
How many years?
Unclear.
Oh, okay.
So
we can kind of do the math after that if you average it.
Well, I'm confused because there was one tweet that said LSU is going to give him $25 million annually, and then now they're saying Ole Miss, Florida, and LSU are all working to try and give him $13 million annually. So $12 million is a vast differential.
It'd probably be a three-year deal because it came out to 3.6, so it'd probably be
only 3 year.
Well, I did $90 million divided by $25 million. So I guess that gives you 3.6.
I guess we'll find out.
So what that would be is that 0.6 would probably be a signing bonus, and then you have a three-year deal. That makes sense.
So let's play a hypothetical here. Let's say Lane Kiffin says, I can't pass up that money. I'm calling Baton Rouge. Operator, won't you send me on down?
Operator, please connect me.
Wrong song.
To 1982? No. Never heard of that? Randy Travis? Okay.
All right, that's a good song. No. I think we've mixed up our old country songs, but it's a good song.
Thank you.
Let's say he takes the job. That leaves two other SEC programs in a bind. Ole Miss is obviously coachless now, as their shining prince has left. And Florida has just missed on their top target. What does that mean for those two programs? Who do they go after?
I mean, if I'm Florida, you go after a guy like Alex Golish. We kind of chatted about it yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
I think Alex Golish is in the running for Oklahoma State and maybe another team out there. But Florida's got to go after a guy inside the state that you're going to have to take the chance on a G5 guy. And that's a proven G5 guy.
Yeah, I think they're trending in that direction.
He even took down Florida this past year. So that's something you got to look at. If you got a guy you're bringing in that has your number, why not bring him in and – have him be your own number.
Yeah. Florida, I think you're right. They want a proven guy, a proven national championship level coach. I don't know if Lane goes to LSU, who else is out there for them that they feel comfortable about? Brian Kelly, I don't think they would feel very comfortable about. Mm-hmm. James Franklin's already at VT. There's not really a guy out there. So I think you're right. I think they would be trending into that Alex Golish. I mean, if you want proven, maybe go Ed Orgeron or Pat Fitzgerald or someone like that.
You're going to throw a wild card out there.
Okay.
And you guys can go ahead and look at me like I'm a weird guy with five heads coming out of the top of my noggin. I don't know. But John Gruden, guy lives in Tampa.
I love Florida, man.
Guy lives in Tampa. He's from the Sunshine State. Might as well bring him in, right?
I see him as an Arkansas fit.
I see him as a Florida State fit.
That too.
Because Florida State last night, I don't know if y'all watched the game. Again, I made the mistake of falling asleep after the first
quarter. No, I was at the MTSU dance concert last night.
That's right. That's right.
It was an experience.
Florida State special teams is not great. And the fact of the matter is, you muffed two punts. Yeah, somebody's getting canned.
Florida State.
Shout out Squirrel White.
Yeah. VFL. Florida State in general is not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they have to go into the G5 direction. As far as Ole Miss, I think they can afford to go in any direction, really. Let me throw a name out at you that is getting a lot of smoke to one SEC program, but I think he'd be a perfect fit, and it would make sense for Ole Miss. John Sumrall.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a relationship with Ole Miss. They've been playing head-to-head or home and homes for a while now, Tulane and Ole Miss. So he knows that city, I would think. He's obviously got a relationship with the administration there. And I think his offensive system would fit them perfectly to where maybe not a replica of Lane Kiffin, but I think it would be pretty close to kind of what you're seeing now as far as a pass first offense, puts up a lot of points, hangs a lot of points, you know, in the air. I think he'd be a great fit there.
Yeah, because you're not shying away from the cloth. You're not, you know, cutting away from the cloth you already have, that foundation. And as long as you continue to use the same ideologies, I mean, Lane Kiffin. He has his own ideologies. But, like, you bring in a guy that has that similar play style, yeah, you're not going to miss a beat. The only beat you'll be missing is the recruiting aspect of it.
Yeah.
And the guys you bring in from the college you're coming from previously.
Tulane recruits well.
They do.
For a group of five school, they recruit well.
And, again, it's all in that same area of the nation, so they can still get stuff done.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get to some of your texts. Vandy Chris on the YouTube chat says, "What's up, guys? Plot twist. Jimmy Sexton is the agent for both Kalen DeBoer and Lane Kiffin. DeBoer to Penn State, Kiffin to Alabama. Sexton is behind all of this."
Chris, spot on.
I mean, that is a very, very far-fetched theory.
Well, the Bama thing, yeah, but the DeBoer thing, if Bama ends up losing or not making the playoff, he's gone. You remember when Parker was sitting on the other side of that glass and I told you...
He does that a lot.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying, in general, I made the statement that we got into a big old argument about it. DeBoer is on the hot seat if they started out 0-1 versus Florida State.
Oh, and, yeah, he lost that one.
Sure enough, look at Alabama right now. People are debating if they go 9-3 that they might make the playoff because they're a big brand. And, of course, you have Saban and Herbstreit behind you on the screen that will vouch for a team like Alabama. But I'll tell you right now, they miss out on the playoff. DeBoer is gone. That AD at Alabama is gone. And Chris on the tech or on the text line the YouTube.
The chat of the tube of you.
Yeah. The Chris on the YouTube chat is spot on. I think DeBoer would go to Penn State. That would be the number one spot.
By gone, do you mean you think he gets fired or he just leaves and goes to Penn State?
No, he gets fired.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I think Alabama, that entire, I'll call them organization because that's what it is nowadays.
They just clean house, you think?
I think they
do. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think Nick Saban is the head ringleader in picking the next head coach for Alabama.
Well, he was the head ringleader in picking this coach. So,
That was a little forced.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
It was a pressured hire, in my opinion.
I think so. Yeah, because they kind of, we know who their number one guy was.
Yep.
He's on a TV behind me. The guy in Oregon, Dan Lanning. They missed on him. They missed on Lane the first time. So I think they were kind of pressured into, okay, we need a national championship-level coach to come into this program because we need a guy after the guy. Why not go get the guy that was just in the national championship? And obviously Jim Harbaugh had just, you know, left for the Chargers and he wasn't coming back to college football anyway. So they go after Kalen DeBoer and... You know, the rest is history.
To add on to Chris's comment there, I don't think Kiffin would go to Bama. I don't know why, but this is always – it's hit me in a weird way. Kirby Smart somehow will leave Georgia because that well will run dry.
And I don't think he's ever leaving Georgia.
You don't think so?
No.
Only because he played there. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's ever leaving. Well, maybe the NFL. He might get an NFL itch one day, maybe. I think that's the only chance.
I don't think he fits an NFL team.
I don't either. I think that's the only place he leaves Georgia for would be an NFL team.
I just think out of that Saban tree of disciple coaches, you have what? Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, from Clemson, Dabo Sweeney, a few other guys on that list of former Alabama coaches. I think Kirby Smart he fits the mold of what Nick Saban wants.
We've gone down such a hypothetical.
I know.
But in this hypothetical situation, if I'm Alabama, there's one guy I am going to, and I'm making him say no to me.
And that is?
Marcus Freeman. Because
good choice.
I think he's capable of leaving. I wouldn't leave if I were him, because Notre Dame has all the money working in their favor. But if I'm Alabama, I'm saying, we will pay you whatever the hell you want. Just come be our coach.
Yeah. That's tough.
But this is such a hypothetical. I think Alabama is going to make the playoff, and I think they'll give Kalen DeBoer another year.
I disagree. I think they miss out.
You think they cave to the Jordan Hare voodoo that goes on down there?
No, but I think they still miss out.
At 10-2? A 10-2 Alabama team?
Because that puts them in the SEC championship, right?
They'd be in the SEC championship.
Oh, so you think they lose in the SEC championship, and that knocks them out. Okay.
Because, again, I will die on this hill. I really will. The committee keeps saying they're going to hold that Florida State loss over Alabama. If they lose in the SEC championship game, championship conference games will not affect your rating to go to the playoff. I still think it does.
I think you got to remember that Alabama has a top four win over Georgia.
Yeah, I think it outweighs the Florida State loss because that's what the committee's telling me.
Really?
Watching Tuesday, that's what the committee's telling me.
Top four win on the road in Athens because over Georgia outweighs a loss to an unranked Florida State on the road.
That's why they're number 10. That's why they got Notre Dame ahead of them, which makes no sense. They are weighing that Florida State loss on them, and they bumped them back a spot because that's simple as that, and that makes no logical sense as to why. That's what frustrates me as a consumer to the sport. And then you bump up Miami from 18 to 12? What is this?
We could spend a whole hour on what's wrong with the rankings right now. It's just there's so many issues. Like, there's no consistency to it whatsoever.
But again, let's do that coming up next.
Sure.
We'll spend a segment shoot promoing on college football playoff. I was going to talk about Amy Adams Strunk and how she can finally talk, but I don't really care about the Titans right now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Do you have a problem with the college football playoff rankings? Why the hell is Notre Dame ranked over Alabama? Why is Miami ranked over Vanderbilt? We'll discuss that coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Hey, looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans game at Nissan Stadium this Sunday? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, Old National Bank, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. And we have gone off on a tangent, as we do normally on this show. Apparently, Nick Frazier, and myself included, and Christian, we all have problems with the college football playoff rankings. Why is Notre Dame ranked above Alabama with no quality wins other than USC? Why is Miami leapfrogging Vanderbilt with no quality wins? Vanderbilt, I think you could argue, has 3-4. Why? Just why? What are we doing? Nick Frazier, please go.
Look,
cut your shoot promo.
I'll start with Vandy real quick. Vandy, I believe, has one of the hardest schedules in the nation, straight up.
I agree.
Looking at what they went through this year, obviously they have a veteran lineup for sure, but that is a team that deserves more respect. They should be in the top 25. I mean, not top 25, top 12. It's just ridiculous.
They are in the top 25.
Top 12.
Believe it or not.
I know, but I corrected myself, say top 12. That's a team that deserves to be in the playoff. You look at a team like Alabama who, you know, if you compartmentalize their schedule, and again, I will go to their schedule right now because they're the 10th ranked team in the nation. Looking at that Florida State loss, and I mentioned it a little bit last break, the playoff committee is holding that over their head like a black cloud. So minus that, they got the quality win over Georgia. They get the win over Vanderbilt. I understand that. The Missouri win to me is starting to fade a little bit. You only beat them by 3 points. Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. Chip Walters is texting me.
Hey, Chip.
He just says SEC bias.
Bingo. He's not wrong. But then you look at the Tennessee win. That's starting to dwindle down. There are a lot of top 25 wins that you look at for Alabama, and you say, yeah, you know what? Not really great. Not really great.
For Alabama?
Yeah.
They've got wins over a ranked top four ranked Georgia, ranked Tennessee.
Minus Georgia. I'm looking at the Tennessee and Missouri, which is a 14 and 11 ranked teams, right?
Yeah.
Yes, those are ranked quality wins, but to me, I don't value those I don't value them to the nth degree because of one, how Tennessee is falling off, and two, how Missouri is starting to fall off a little bit too.
I think if you hold that standard to Alabama, you have to hold that standard to Vanderbilt too.
And I think they've done that.
Vanderbilt has beaten LSU unranked, Missouri unranked, and then got blown out by Texas. I mean, they rallied back, but it was never a game from the start. Got beat by Alabama. Outside of that, if we're going off of that narrative, Vandy has no quality wins.
And hang on. Let me calculate this real quick. you look at the wins against South Carolina, it's a multi-win.
Like, and South Carolina, who was ranked at the time.
Yeah, at 11.
Now a three-win team.
I get that. You look at Virginia Tech, they beat them 44 points to 20. Like, I'm looking at the margin of victory now, because if you look at Alabama's margin of victories in all those ranked games, minus Tennessee, which I think was like 31 or 37 to 20, so a 17-point victory there. You look at all these other wins. Like, Vandy's taking care of business and games they should take care of, whereas for Alabama, it's been a minute fraction in some aspects. That's where I am frustrated with the committee. That's where I'm frustrated with how they decipher who should be where.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
No, I agree. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but to counteract that, that's what I'm trying to tell you, is Vandy is taking care of business in games where they should beat down on Utah State 55-35. They should beat down Georgia State 70-21. Like, you have all these giant wins. And again, I looking at the LSU win and the Missouri win, those are not looking great. I get that.
Yeah.
But that's what's keeping them in the running. And same thing for Alabama. But I think for Alabama's sake, the game they should have taken care of business in was Florida State, and they did not do that.
And I think Vandy Chris on the YouTube chat is harping on your point. If Oregon gets credit for a win over Penn State, why isn't Vanderbilt getting credit for ranked wins over Penn State? Oh, I don't think that says Penn is supposed to be Penn State.
He meant to put another team, yeah.
Yeah, LSU, Missouri, we'll put South Carolina in there, who were all ranked when Vandy beat them. And I think that's kind of the point we're making here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Devin and Dixon on the text line says, yeah, as an Alabama fan, I have a major damn problem that the committee is holding the FSU loss over us. Absolutely no excuse at all. Especially with that top four win on the road in Athens. If Bama takes care of its business, including winning the SEC championship, and still gets left out with only two losses, my head is going to absolutely explode.
They won't get left out if they win the SEC championship.
They will not.
Nope.
It's going to come down to them and A&M, I think, in Atlanta, which will be a really fun game. I think even if Alabama wins out and makes the SEC championship, there's no way you can leave them out. Not with that win. They have the best win in the country.
Yeah, look, this is, again, I'm torn because the committee has said you will not be penalized for the conference championship game. And if Alabama loses, that's their third loss of the year. To me, they will get penalized for that. If they end up,
why? Because branding.
I get that. It's part of it. We'll get to that. We'll get to that here in a second. But if they end up winning that game, then that just that levels out everything else. That puts them in a top eight spot.
To me, I feel like,
I'm saying they would get rewarded for that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I feel like obviously the loss at Florida State is a really bad loss, and it continues to look worse. They just got beat 21-11 last night to NC State to give them bowl eligibility. I feel like as bad a loss that is, we got to factor in they beat a current top four team in the country on the road. To me, those two should cancel out and maybe leave some left over, because a top four win is a lot better than a unranked loss on the road. That's just my opinion on Alabama. I think they're going to make the playoff. I think they're going to be hosting in the playoff. They're not going to be a top four seed. But I think we also got to factor in that if Alabama does go out and lose, A, they're probably out of the college football playoff. B, you probably got a different matchup in Atlanta, because Georgia, if they win out, would have one more win over Alabama despite losing them. So do you have Georgia and Texas A&M in Atlanta? Mm. It's such a confusing
conversation. Processing it in my brain as you speak. Yeah, that is interesting. Like, look, if you have A&M, who, let's say they win out, they go undefeated and they're in the SEC championship game, right? Let's say Georgia ends up winning out, Ole Miss ends up winning out, then you go off head-to-head. I believe Georgia has the head-to-head in that one. So it'd be, like you said, Georgia and A&M.
Yeah.
To the point about Alabama, if they're at two losses and they end up beating Auburn in the Iron Bowl, I still think Alabama is not making the playoff.
Yeah. In conclusion, if you are a Vanderbilt fan, it's war damn Eagle.
Yeah. And you're all about BYU losing. You're all about Miami losing.
Yep. You're about Oklahoma.
You're about Oregon winning today.
Yep.
Because if Oregon loses, you're gone. I think I was watching SportsCenter this morning. Currently, according to their All-State predictor for the playoff, Vanderbilt has a 17% chance of making the playoff right now.
Yeah.
As things hold.
We haven't also discussed why Notre Dame is ranked ahead of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Text on our text line says 7787 says, as an Alabama fan, I don't understand how Notre Dame is ranked ahead of us with no quality wins. But to say that our ranked wins are dwindling is a bit of a ridiculous considering Ohio State has been ranked number one for most of the year, and you'd be hard pressed to find one quality win on their schedule.
Okay, I have a thought about this, and I don't want to tease it. I just want to tell you it right now. Notre Dame, the reason why they are ranked ninth.
Good, because we still got like 6 minutes to fill.
Yeah. The reason why Notre Dame is ranked where they are right now, you look at those losses against Miami. You look at the loss against A&M.
Yeah.
Both of those came down to what, one possession, right?
Yep.
Both of those teams, and again, I give credit to Parker Kelly when he told me this, like the committee this week tried to counteract where they put Miami from 18th and bumped them up to 12 to bolster the resume of Notre Dame, and calling those losses, they're not treating them like quality losses. They're treating those losses like quality wins for Notre Dame because they're not in a conference. They tried, again, goes back to your point about brand bias.
Oh, it's brand bias.
This is 100% where Notre Dame feeds into the factor of it all. And again, it's just, it's sickening because you're not getting the best 12 in there.
I would, this goes back to the argument I heard Lyman and Corey Curtis have. I would argue right now, on this day, that Notre Dame currently has a better resume than Vanderbilt. And the only reason being is because they have a win over a currently ranked team. Vanderbilt doesn't have that. That said, if you were to ask me who is to get in with both teams at 10-2, I would take Vanderbilt over Notre Dame because of the quality of schedule they've played, because of them taking care of business, because of them surviving the trap game today. Trap game, people. Trap game. I'll read the dictionary definition of trap game. We'll do that later. But regardless, I would put Vanderbilt in over Notre Dame at 10-2.
Can I just say a pet peeve I have about this whole thing?
Yes. Go ahead.
It really annoys me when people say, like, for example, Vandy. We'll talk about Vandy since we're talking about him right now. They beat South Carolina, who was ranked, what, like 11th, 12th, 13th when they played them? 11. That's a ranked win. I don't care what you said. I don't care how bad South Carolina was at the time. That's a, or as is now, you know, at the time they were ranked 11th. That's a ranked win.
It's a ranked win, but it looks worse and worse as the season goes on.
I agree. I just don't like these people that will try to counteract it and say, oh, that's not a ranked win now. I just think that's stupid. Also, kind of funny, you remember when I said on this show, I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, there's no chance a 10-2 Vanderbilt doesn't get left out. Yeah, that doesn't look too smart now.
No, it's not. Yeah, I mean, I was with you on that too.
Yeah, nobody, because I just assumed, hey, we'll have chaos, it'll work. So, nothing's happened.
I mean, I'm with you. I don't think a 10-2 Vandy should be left out. But again, I get the whole point of the head-to-head against Alabama. I get all that, but just putting that out there, I think they should still be in the running for it. I mean, they are, but a little bit more consideration than they have right now.
Nah, I've made all the Vanderbilt fans mad.
Uh-oh.
They see my hat. They're coming after me now. You're biased. Anyways, 615-737-1025. Hey, want to hear more Big Blue Bias? Stick around. Newt's Notes coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle on 1025 The Game.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta.
Newt's Notes.
An oldie but a goodie. This one's probably my proudest one. If we're bringing back the intros. The Commodores will take on, oh, I don't know, some team in blue today. Kentucky at First Bank Stadium. Pregame begins at 1 p.m. on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan with kickoff at 2:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Welcome back in to the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. I'm getting hammered on the text line for being a biased Wildcat. I have not once said one biased thing. In fact, I think Vanderbilt's going to win today. There you go. But just to stick it to you people, let's talk about a little bit more Big Blue bias, shall we? And we'll go to the hardwood on this one. Is Mark Pope okay? Have you listened to him this week, Frazier? After the Michigan State loss, he was not a happy camper. He was just depressed. He looked like he wanted to throw himself off the top of Rupp Arena. It was not a good time. So, yesterday, Kentucky played at Rupp Arena. They played at Loyola, Maryland, and won by 40. And Mark looked happy. Good for Mark. So, a reporter had this question for Mark, and I thought it was pretty interesting to hear. Here's what he said.
Mark over here. You had to bear with me on this one. Short question. Are you all right? Because, and I asked that because, I mean, losing sucks. You take losing really hard. And your words in New York said, we're going to get this fixed. The body language, which you talk a lot about, kind of spoke differently. And I actually had people call me and say, is he okay? So I'm asking, you okay?
You're asking if I'm sick?
No. Are you okay?
No, but we need to play better. We got to get better. And we will stop at nothing to get better. And there was nothing that'll stop us from getting better. And we won't sleep. We won't eat. We won't do anything till we get better. We're going to get better. And so, you know, and that's going to take every ounce of our soul to do it. And there is nothing that will stop us from getting better and achieving what we're going to achieve this year. And so if you feel anything from me, feel that. Like, you know, I might not sleep as much. That's great, because this is the greatest opportunity and a great group of guys. And we, our destiny is to do something really special. And we're far, far from that. It's not acceptable. And so I appreciate you asking, but yeah, I'm great. I actually am. This is actually my happy space right now. The determination to like get down in the mud and grow and do it sleeplessly and relentlessly and get better every single day and push every single button and try every single new thing. That's actually how you build something great. And we're in it now, and we're not leaving it. Like, we're in it. We're going to push it, and we're going to make progress. So I'm actually better than okay. This is my heaven right here. It's hard, but we have something really good here, and we're going to make sure we get there.
What a phenomenal answer to the question: are you okay? Are you okay mentally? I mean, you laugh, but he's driven. You know, he knows. He knows that he's not doing well right now. I love that he's like, we're not going to eat. We're not going to sleep. We're not going to do anything until we get a damn quality win.
To be honest with you, I'm in my happy space.
This is my heaven right now. It's hard, but it's my heaven. I just like the way the question was phrased. It was such a Big Joe question to me. Are you all right? Like, are you okay?
I didn't take you out to lunch. You all right?
And then he answers with, are you asking if I'm sick? Like, he put the emphasis on the C and the K. Are you am I sick? Hey, look, I don't have a problem with Mark Pope. I mean, I do. I he's struggling right now. That team's struggling. There's some chemistry issues, and I think that's part of the process. Some of his, you know, coaching choices this season have been interesting, to say the least. But I have full confidence he'll be able to get it back together, as Vanny Chris is completely bashing me. But anyways, I think he'll be able to get it together. It's just a matter of, can he get this team focused? And I think he has the drive to get it focused. I just thought that answer was kind of the perfect representation of the kind of person Mark Pope is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Mark Pope like you do, on not a religious basis, but more on a, you know.
Well, I don't know him on a religious basis. He's Mormon.
Well, that's not what I meant. I meant more like following like his work and stuff.
Oh,
like, yeah, the yes. team. On a religious basis.
Yes.
Excuse me. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. No, but just, yeah, I've lost my train of thought. I'm so flustered and I'm laughing in my head. Sorry about that. no, you're talking about your boy, Mark Pope. I just think he's going to figure this out. I'm not worried about it. He just gave that reporter probably the best line of all time. But
oh, it was like a therapy session.
Yeah.
I loved it. And it's night and day from the answer he gave, I believe it was John Goodman, from Field of 68 and On Three on Tuesday after the loss. Like, he was like, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, I think we're very, very far from what we want to accomplish. And he said that there, too. He knows they're far. And look, it maybe Louisville and Michigan State found an early recipe to beat them. As Vandy Chris puts it, force their guards to defend the perimeter and get physical. They fold like first graders. And now he's bashing Otega Owe, who currently leads the SEC in turnovers. Let's look at the volume of play there. Vanderbilt's played no one, and Kentucky has played two quality Power 4 teams. No disrespect to Vanderbilt, but it's just early challenges present themselves. I think he phrased that perfectly in only a way that Mark Pope can. They're going to figure it out. It's just a matter of time. And I understand being mad. We've shifted our anger from one mark to another mark. It's probably going to go back to the other mark today. So that's just my soapbox on that.
I'm glad you expressed it.
You're welcome, America. This is my one day to just flex big blue bias everywhere, and it pisses everyone off because we're in, I guess, black and gold country.
I love it. Yeah. I have no problem with
it. Just ruffling some feathers. That's all.
This was just another example of me just thinking to myself, I hate how likable Mark Pope is.
He is a likable
guy. He just makes me laugh most of the time. Like,
He's hilarious.
I have no hate for him, unfortunately.
He's hilarious.
When you talk John Calipari.
Oh,
that's a whole other story.
There's hate.
Connor would even probably agree with me on that.
Oh, I hate him.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that.
I hate him. He's the worst. I mean, we could compare that press conference to a Calipari press conference. He says like five token phrases in the same press conference. You know, our team's just young. We're inexperienced. They're not machines. I like my team. This is the most rewarding team I've ever coached. Blah, blah, blah. And then he'll throw out like the mechanical stuff. Like, we're going to go back to the five pass rule. It's going to be some eighth grade bleep.
Didn't he say that after the Arkansas game the other night?
Yes,
is that what he said?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did. And I have that memorized. It's, you know.
Oh, so that was him. He's used that one before. I didn't even realize that. Wow, okay.
Devin and Dixon on our phone line. See, all this talk about college football rankings has everyone just flustered. Nick can't think straight. Now Bama fans are pissed. You got Vandy fans over here shooting strays at me. Man, what a start to the first hour. I mean,
there's more on the other side.
There's more on the other. I mean, this is a controversial show. We should start putting like the warnings that Pat McAfee does.
The disclaimer at the beginning?
Yeah. This show is ran by three idiots. Please don't be offended.
They do that more so for the FCC, though, don't they?
Yeah, there's no FCC violations at.
Well, I could commit some FCC violations.
Well, let's say we did.
I like my job. I don't want to do that.
Do you like your team?
Actually, yeah. I got a few teams that I do enjoy watching. Like, you know, my Brisbane Broncos.
The Brisbane Broncos. When's that season start?
It starts back in February, the 28th, I believe. So
you're going to be just
I think I'm headed
down.
I'm headed back to Vegas for week one again, so that'd be fun to cover.
Do they do week zero?
They don't do week zero. They have they call it the Indigenous Week. So they get
Indigenous Week.
Yeah, okay. They have like a bunch of indigenous tribes around Australia and New Zealand. And they do like a kind of like a, not an all-star weekend, but just all the different indigenous tribes go at each other. And they do like a round robin tournament sort of. So that's their week zero sort of.
Oh my goodness. Vandy Chris has named our chat the Huddle House.
That is perfect.
That's an actual place, I believe.
Oh,
it is. It's a restaurant, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's
Mid-North.
I always see those on the interstate, and I never stop at one. I just always see them. I'm like, what this is.
The Huddle House. I love it. It sounds like a promiscuous place you would go at like 3 a.m., but I love it.
Huddle House has some good food. It does.
You're not helping my case.
No, I'm serious. It is a place. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, I didn't.
It's an actual place. Yeah,
I didn't.
It's like the Waffle House, but for like the North.
We're going down such a rabbit hole right now. I heard you guys talking about Crystal the other day. I have never once had Crystal in my life.
Well, I'll tell you, you'll have it once and it goes right through you, so it's a pretty quick environment.
Well, I go more than the average person, so.
TMI.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought he meant he goes to Crystal more than the average person. I was like, that's probably not that much, honestly.
Yeah, no, I go to the Porcelain Pony more than the average person.
There you go.
That goes in the. That's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
That question of the day was, if the Titans were a chain restaurant, what would they be?
Their Waffle House.
And that's why people started to continuously answer. I said Fazoli's.
Fazoli's.
Everybody,
hey, man, don't hate on Fazoli's,
dude,
okay?
Everybody loves the breadsticks, but then you know what happened.
Their
everybody.
Waffle House, because it's not that good, but you go for entertainment. Like, yeah. You go to see the waitress and some customer throwing plates at each other at 2 in the morning.
It's like a pay-per-view event.
Yeah.
For free.
It's like a soap opera. It's like a telenovela.
Yeah. There you go.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to get in the Huddle House, we're calling it now. Coming up next, we'll get on a more serious note, I guess. Today is Hockey Fights Cancer Day. Over at Bridgestone Arena. We want to know, who are you fighting for? We want to hear your stories. We want to celebrate those who are fighting the good fight. And we want to wish them luck. We'll do that coming up next. Here on hour number two of the Weekend Huddle, real quick, let me tell you that tomorrow's NFL game of the week is the Eagles versus the Cowboys at 3:25 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. NFL game of the week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Masero in 12 South. We'll be right back for hour number two right here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.